that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore melodious songs of bliss, and our spirits shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Amen. Let's bow for an opening prayer. Most gracious God, we honor your name in what we say and what we do, not only during this hour in our worship, but each day as we go about our work, our daily lives. May your gracious presence surround us. May our obedience to your word be a joy, not a burden. May the depth of your grace, the width of your love, the height of your joy inspire us here and now to be more fully your people, known by gracious goodwill. We look to you for guidance, Heavenly Father. Empower us with your Spirit, we pray. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Union Station, Seventh-day Baptist Church, isn't a very popular church because we are so out of step with the religious world that promotes Sunday as the Lord's Day. It's okay that we're out of step. We have some pretty good reasons in God's Word to be Sabbath keepers. We have been blessed with the wisdom and the courage to follow God's plan for mankind to keep the Sabbath day holy. But much more than that, we get to see broken people make their way to Jesus. We can see the message of Jesus convert battered souls. people who have emotional wounds, who feel all hope is lost in a world that seems to focus only on the pursuit of riches and power. We can encourage others. We can help others, one person at a time. And we can see grace, and we can see things the way God sees them. Paul said that we should be perfectly joined together. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." This means that you and I are puzzle pieces. Laura and I used to enjoy working on puzzles with a former member who's now passed on into eternity. Her name was Margie Madison. We visited her every week for about 5 years. Our activity with her was putting together her 1,000-piece puzzles. Our lives are like those puzzles. Our lives can get very complicated as we juggle a lot of relationships and situations at home and at work. And basically, every time we strike up a conversation, there is the potential for another event to take us somewhere new. Life is full of puzzle pieces, and a puzzle piece doesn't make sense until the puzzle piece realizes that it is part of a bigger picture. Our lives don't make much sense until we realize that we are part of a bigger story. We are part of a picture called the body of Christ that God has been painting since the foundation of time. And it's only written within this frame. I should say it's only within the frame of our lives that the puzzle makes sense. See, life makes no sense apart from God. We're born, we grow, we cultivate relationships, we work, we toil, we hope to experience a good life. And then what happens? Then we die. The preacher in Ecclesiastes concluded that apart from a relationship with God, life is pointless. He said that life is futile without God. Outside of God's plan, life makes no sense. Like a puzzle piece, we are in a box and we get jostled around and turned upside down. We get buried by other pieces. We don't even know there is a bigger picture until we get out of the box. Do you know that every puzzle piece is an important part of the big picture? What do you think when you've completed a puzzle and there's one missing piece? Oh no, it's missing a piece. It's incomplete. All you can see is the unfilled hole in the picture. Every individual piece matters to the big picture. Just like you matter to God, and you matter to me, and I matter to you, because we are all family. We're not here for nothing. We are crucial pieces of a beautiful picture that God Himself is creating. A puzzle piece is not a puzzle by itself. You will never fulfill your destiny by yourself. God is interested in each puzzle piece, and He's interested in a worldwide mosaic that will overcome evil and establish His kingdom on this earth. We are puzzle pieces, and we need each other. Sometimes it takes several attempts for a puzzle piece to find its fit. Some puzzle pieces get overlooked for a long time. They hide out in the box. Sort of like a wilderness experience. They lay in the box, seemingly forgotten. Other pieces are squeezed into positions that they don't quite fit. You know, if you try too hard to force a puzzle piece into the wrong position, you'll bend the edges, damage the piece. It's better to wait for the spot that was custom made for you. And sometimes the master puzzle, the puzzle master, he picks up the same piece many times, and each time puts it back down temporarily and goes for another piece. Have you ever been there? It feels a bit uncomfortable. But you still need to remind yourself of the truth that you are perfect for your God-given assignment. God's niche for your life will fit you perfectly. Your job is to seek God until you find your niche and then embrace it. Sometimes your position won't be ready until the other pieces get positioned first. God might be saving you for a special purpose or a special need. We all fit together in the big picture that God is forming, and God will pick you up and place you into the position where He needs you the most, to that spot where He wants you to fill in. There is a perfect spot in God's kingdom for you to fit, but you must be patient. A puzzle is assembled piece by piece, not all at once, so we have some waiting time. During our waiting time, we master our piece of the puzzle. Don't try to be a corner piece if you are a middle piece. Don't sneak to the center if you are a corner. If you're a straight edge, master the area that God has given you. God gave you gifts. God gave you your personality. The world needs you to be you. The church needs you to be you. You have special gifts and talents. We need you to be the most spirit-filled puzzle piece that you can be. You are part of God's plan for this world. You're not just toiling along with your work and your family. You can be much more, because God wants you to soar like an eagle as you realize that you are contributing to the healing of a world that is desperate for a glimpse of the picture of Messiah Jesus. God is committed to getting you into the place that He has made just for you. Even if it takes a while for you to find your niche and to begin flourishing within your spot, let it be said that after all the highs and lows of your Christian life, that you continue to praise your Heavenly Father. Now, after saying all this, let's look at Solomon, who began his book of Ecclesiastes by calling himself the preacher. Solomon knew about God, he knew about religion, and he was the king. But he wasn't satisfied. He set out in pursuit of happiness. He felt it was his right to find a measure of happiness in life, so he went after it with all the power that a king had at his disposal. He tasted all of life's little pleasures to find out what was good. He embraced fun times. He embraced wine. And when those temporary physical highs didn't satisfy, he tried to find satisfaction through hard work. He built parks, gardens, vineyards, ponds. He built irrigation systems that watered vast regions. King Solomon's work ethic was renowned in the area of the Middle East at that time. King Solomon understood that hard work is good for a man. A career that is part of a balanced life is good and profitable. But something happened. Solomon went overboard. He began to amass so much gold and silver that he became famous for his treasures, his bank accounts. And that didn't satisfy him. He still had an unsatisfied desire. Despite all his wisdom, he was not content. He was significantly flawed, just like you and me. And he moved on into darker addictions. He purchased slaves by the thousands, and he indulged in every lustful pleasures. He wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 10, "All that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure." King Solomon tried everything. And what did he discover? What was his conclusion at the end point of his life? That's what the book of Ecclesiastes is all about. We are travelers and pilgrims on our way to our eternal home. Sunsets over the Gulf of Mexico are but a child's crayon sketch compared to the brilliance of heaven's glow. The flashes of lightning over Tampa Bay are mere flickers of beauty compared to the radiance of eternity. We are destined for more than what we're living. But most of that destiny will be realized only in the next life. Solomon came to realize that all his current reality, with all his amassed wealth and power, was a mere shadow of the glory he would someday see in eternity. So why did God allow Solomon to continue embracing all the temporary pleasures that don't satisfy? Well, perhaps God knew that Solomon would ultimately figure it out. And he did. Solomon concluded that wealth does not bring the greatest source of contentment. Rather, contentment only comes from a heart of genuine gratitude. Gratitude for a cool glass of water while sitting in the sand on the beach, or sipping a cup of coffee under the stars at night. Great satisfaction comes from savoring life's simple pleasures. Solomon wrote this in the book of Ecclesiastes, and he concluded that a life lived alone is a vain and desperate thing. We are relational beings at our core. We were made by God in his image with a longing for family. We will always be empty and discouraged if we aren't engaged in vibrant relationships. Jesus, who experienced long periods of isolated prayer with his Father, never sent his disciples out alone. At the very least, they went out two by two, so that, as Solomon realized, they would have a good return for their labor, and so that if one fell, his companion would pull him up. Solomon realized that arrogance ends in ruin. He saw man pursuing hopes and expectations. He saw man laboring as if he could master the world and lay bare its secrets. He saw man trying to break through his natural limitations to master his own destiny. But in the end, Solomon realized it's just all chasing after the wind. Solomon learned that the power of a good name and the reward of a legacy are things that cannot be purchased. Solomon reflected on all this, and he concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands. But no man knows whether love or hate awaits him. All share a common destiny. The righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good man, so also with the sinner. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. We are all on this journey of life together. And as Solomon realized, God is the master designer. Solomon said, enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong. Nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Chapter 9, verses 9 through 11. And then as Solomon continues to write, chapter 12, his famous conclusion. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. After his all-encompassing quest for life, this was Solomon's conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments. Did he mean that the totality of life is that we should be afraid of God and follow God's rules? Well, that would be a little discouraging. Actually, it would be very discouraging. But that is not what Solomon meant. What he meant was that if you will do your best to give your life in a manner to please God and make God known before men, then you will have begun to tap into the heart of the matter and discover what true life is all about. God wants you to have a genuine, growing, passionate relationship with Him and with family and with like-minded believers. God wants you to minister using the gifts of the Holy Spirit that He has given to you and your natural talents. When you are growing in your relationship with God, when you are living life with like-minded friends and family members, and when you bear God's image using your passion with the gifts He has given you, then you will discover what Jesus meant when He said that He came so you can have life and have it abundantly. So what now are we supposed to do? Especially if, like me, you are not the religious kind. I was finished with religion a long time ago. The kind of religion that helps only the ultra-disciplined believers, but offers no life for hurting, desperate people. I avoid church politics that consume precious hours of our lives but bears no eternal fruit. I'm done with irrelevant, self-centered, shallow church experiences. But I'm not done with the church that Jesus established. When Jesus returns to sweep his bride off her feet, I want to be numbered among those whom he asks to dance. I want to have a track record of devotion and unwavering fidelity, love for my Savior. I want to be salt and light before the world. I want the world to see Christ in me. And as I end this message today, I'd like us to consider an interesting thought about King David. Although King David had smeared his good reputation with his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, there came a time when the Lord God forgave him. His first child with Bathsheba, the product of their sin, died. And on the heels of this tragic event, David washed his face, changed his clothes, he entered into the house of God to worship. And after worshiping the Lord, amid his grief and his true repentance, Scripture tells us that David went to Bathsheba, comforted her, and lay with her. Again, God was pleased. This time, the fruit of their relationship was the preacher of Ecclesiastes, the child of Solomon. And God loved this little boy so much that he sent his prophet Nathan to David and Bathsheba to tell them so. There was still life to be lived for David and Bathsheba, and God wanted to take their tragic situation and make something good out of it. That's the business that God is in. He takes difficult, bad events and make something good happen out of them. God's mercy and grace are amazing. God wants to make something good out of our failures. God is looking for 21st century Christians who will build his church in such a way that the world sees his glory, so that the world will run to him to be reconciled to him. God is looking for sons and daughters who will be many times better than the world and who will bear his image before the world in their particular corner of the puzzle, or an edge piece, or a centerpiece. God is looking for people with whom he can share his anointing to change the lives of those who will listen. God knows that there is still life within the church. Around this globe, the church is still vibrant. Even if you're a member of a small church, your outreach can be worldwide. And he knows that despite its flaws and failures, the church is still his plan to show others his ways and to tell them, if they will just listen, to the story of his mercy and salvation that he grants through the sacrifice of his only begotten Son. With that, I will close with a hearty amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
thy name in all the earth.